Simon Park's Connecting Consciousness Show. Wolf Spirit Radio.
If you have questions for Simon, please click on the Ask Questions tab at the top of the chat room page, found at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. Or you can go to the link that Vanessa and True Magic will be posting in the chat room. Thank you.
The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests, and up-to-date news. Please join Simon and play an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show.
You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio, simulcast from Haggy Shack Radio. And we are live. Hi, Simon.
Hi, Colleen. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. And how are you doing?
Well, let's start off with an announcement. I'm fine. I did a conference yesterday in Birmingham, the Metaphysical Conference, but I only just made it. I've spent nearly 4 hours today in hospital. I've been diagnosed with kidney stones. It was incredibly painful. So literally, 2 hours before I was due to leave to drive down to the conference in Birmingham, I got this horrible pain in my right side, which tends to move around my body a bit. I did all the usual things that you would do, and fortunately by 11 o'clock in the morning it stopped. So I was able to drive to the conference. I was determined to go to the conference. I really don't like letting people down. So it was a 3.5 hour drive. I got there late, but, you know, only sort of 10 or 15 minutes late. And I'm so glad that I went, Colleen. There's about 150 people there. And it had a great day. There have been other speakers, and I was the last speaker. Thank goodness. So I did that, and I was okay. I was all right. Went for a quick meal afterwards, and although I wasn't in pain, I wasn't myself. Then got back home, another long drive the same night, because I think I'll do that again. At 2 o'clock in the morning, the pain started again in my right side, moving across. And by 10 o'clock in the morning, I had enough of it, so I got hold of my good friend Wynne, and he drove me to hospital. And you know, they sort of looked at it and said, "This is what you've got." So I've had some very powerful painkillers, etc., etc. And you know, we've got to see what we can do with it. But it's not a sharp stabbing pain; it's a sort of a debilitating low pain. But when it's at its worst, it's, you know, I can't really think of doing anything. So that's why tonight I'm only going to do 1 hour. So 1 hour show live tonight, and I think Colleen, you said you would put a clip from one of my other shows in, and to fill the time. And I'm also going to take an immediate 2 week holiday from Skyping clients. Now, that means that people who are booked, I'm really sorry, you will just be moved back. I've really got to look after myself. So an immediate 2 week holiday. I'm not even going to do any work at all. I'm just going to take it easy. You know, it's a very demanding time for everybody, not just me. And I need to keep myself strong and well and, you know, back in there. And I was brought home to me by the wonderful people at the conference in Birmingham, yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Everybody there was full of energy, keen, wanted the best for humanity, ready for the energetic fight. And it just sort of warmed my heart, really, that there were so many good people, who can come together in a group like that. And, you know, you can actually feel the energies in the room. There's a lovely energy in that room. So, I suppose for them, for me, and for the battle ahead, I need to just immediately say, right, no more Skypes for a period of 2 weeks or so. People will be written to, of course, I just ask you to be patient. You know, this is something that's happened. I had no warning of it at all. It literally just came out of the blue. And for those people who've had kidney stones, you know what they're like. And for those people who don't, medical opinion is that the worst pain in the world is giving birth, so a woman having a child, and the second worst pain is kidney stones. So that's happened to me yesterday and today, but I was determined to do 1 hour tonight, because you know what it's like. If I don't do the show, then it'll leak out that I've been to hospital, and then all the detractors will have me down as dead, or shot, or murdered, thrown the towel in, and gone back, and they'll say, you see, I told you so. So, you know, no, that's not the case. You know, I am here, I'm going to do the hour. I owe it to the people who have shown me personally and what we all stand for so much support. And I just ask people to be patient. And what I actually really like is some healing from people. Don't please focus on the kidney stones. Focus on them being dissolved or broken up and going. So anybody's got a little bit of time to send me a bit of healing, then I'd welcome that. That would be really a lovely present. At the conference, I talked in detail about the forthcoming financial crash, and it was filmed. It will go onto YouTube. I talked in detail about Hillary Clinton, all the key players, and I made my opinion that the woman who came out of the daughter's house was not Hillary Clinton, but was a body double. But the person on the aeroplane, I had the joke, the jury was out on it, but I've since spoken to somebody who's like me, does take a great interest in these topics. And I believe that the person who looks like Hillary Clinton on the aeroplane is actually a clone. Now that's very significant. So after the stumble into the motor car, then a body double comes out, and they're so poor they can't even get the handbag, the clutch bag on the right shoulder. But a far more convincing one is on the aeroplane, and that is a clone. But it has not got Hillary Clinton's soul in it, that I'm sure of. So there's a great deal to play for, and I actually think that what is going to happen here is that the world will be told Hillary Clinton has pneumonia, has flu, she's a little bit this, that, and the other, and then I think at some point they're suddenly going to announce that she's not fit to run for president because she's too ill, and there is now not enough time to bring in a new Democratic candidate, and therefore the election will have to be postponed, which would leave President Obama going on for an unprecedented period of time. That, I think, is what I know that they have discussed at a very high level, and that's what they're aiming for. So they will be hell-bent, as I said at the conference, in keeping Hillary in the race. They're absolutely determined to keep Donald Trump out from winning, because Donald Trump has said that he will just shake up Capitol Hill. And Capitol Hill is full of politicians, career politicians. So it doesn't matter whether you approve of him or not, that's what he said he'll do. So that's what I think the people of America watch this space. In terms of the situation with Germany, I have said several times that what occurred with Germany was good for the Germans, was not good for Britain and America, because it means the spotlight will now be on the States and across the pond, Great Britain, England. I do expect some form of issue, and I did show pictures of the Cheyenne, old NORAD, deep underground base, which is very popular and featured in many films. But what's not known is that last year, just under $1 billion, is about $750 to $800 million was spent on electromagnetic pulsing proofing. So EMP proofing it. I understand that NORAD have been thrown out from the base and have not been allowed back in because they need the space for the next advanced type of computers they're bringing in, which is to do with the space. So the reason I think they're EMPing it is because we have a very real possibility of an electromagnetic pulse across some parts of the hemisphere, and the military certainly don't want to be taken out. So I gave the conference the latest information that I had, and it was really nice to meet people. So, okay, that's my news. So please, people who I know have the good wishes of everyone at heart, please don't be overly concerned for me. I'm okay, but I wouldn't mind if you have 5 minutes, a little bit of healing. That would be very welcome. Colleen, shall we do the questions then?
Sure can.
Thank you.
And I'm sure that our listeners and your listeners and chatters are be very, very happy to send you lots of healing energy.
Thank you.
Okay, the first question is from Prominence MK. And hello, Simon. Can you confirm the following information about the colors UFO beams are that are coming from the bottom of a spacecraft?
Okay.
UFO researchers say that the white beams are for examination and scanning. Blue beams are used to abduct living beings. Rose and orange suck blood. Green beams draw crop circles. Red beams are radioactive and leave heat energies. Thank you, Simon, for the wonderful show.
Thank you very much. Some of those I would agree with, and some I would not. Certainly the white beams are non-disruptive, and they are scanning beams. The red beams for sucking blood, no, I've not come across that, actually. I think what I could go along the line is that the red beam has the ability to, a little bit like an X-ray, to look into a body, physical body, and to look at the organs, etc., etc., but it's not, to my knowledge, to suck blood. These beings, the negative beings, will suck blood mechanically. They won't do it electronically, to my knowledge. And no evolved higher being would ever do anything like that. So these things are going to be coming from the fourth dimension, predominantly. Can you just give me the other colours again, Colleen, because I've forgotten.
Okay, let's see here. There was a blue beam to abduct beings.
Right, let's just deal with that one. Using Star Trek parlance, we would call them a tractor beam. It is a very, very light electric blue that I am familiar with. Very light blue, not a very dark blue. The other frequency of blue is used to fire down on a crowd of people to blank their mind. So if you have a group UFO sighting, maybe, I don't know, there's a group of walkers, maybe 10 or 15 people, it's not practical to go down and fire the blue light into each one of their eyes. But you can bathe the group with the blue light. This is a different blue light from...
Oh dear, I think we've lost Simon.
I'm back on, can you hear me?
I hear you just fine now, thank you.
Great, so the light electric-y blue would be more for a tractor beam lifting somebody off the ground, or lifting their soul energy if it's more violet colour, and the darker blue would be for blanking everybody's mind at one go. So some of those colour beams make sense to me, but others I have no knowledge of. I'm not going to say they're wrong, because I cannot speak for every alien craft, not all the pilots of every alien craft. But certainly the one that sounds very vampiric That's news to me. But it's a good question, because there are a number of genuine clips on YouTube that have appeared of bright lights and beams pulsing down from a craft. And the question is, well, why is that? What do those beams do? And what the questioner hasn't actually addressed there, why would they? Because it's a big subject. But sampling. When people send a robot to Mars or the Moon, it has a little metal arm grabber that grabs a sample of soil and then puts it into an oven and bakes it and does all the other bits and scans it. But these advanced beings have the ability to run a beam of energy over a subject, whether it be a living piece of bark from a tree or a piece of soil, and then they can analyze it from that. So many of the beams that you see from a craft are actually tasting the water, if you like. They are touching a tree, touching the soil, sampling the atmosphere. So a lot of those are about that. In other cases, it's about creating a stable portal, or if the energy is not correct around the flying craft, then the beams can actually alter the balance of energy between the craft and the Earth. So there's lots of different reasons why we would see coloured lights or beams coming from craft.
Alrighty. The next question. Dear Simon, at the end of August, 10 students of Eton College managed to have a private talk with Mr. Putin. How come 10 students could have a talk with the Russian president? Did they discuss anything special? Do you know? And that's from Andrew.
Well, we shouldn't be surprised if a group of, I'm very careful what I say, we shouldn't be surprised if a group of highly intellectual people wish to speak with a leader of a country to hear that person's side to an argument. In other words, instead of condemning somebody as guilty before you've had a trial, sometimes groups of people will say, well, actually, this person hasn't had the chance to put their case. Now, whether we like it or not, most people from Eton, Oxford and Cambridge, under the way that the country and the world works, will end up in very senior positions, running large corporations, being heavily into politics, and having a very influential shaping of society. So if a group of people should say, actually, we don't like the way it's going, and we would like to speak to Mr. Putin, and they were able to convince him that they were genuine in their balanced opinions, then why wouldn't Mr. Putin seek to meet them? Because those people might one day be the Prime Minister, or might be a head of a multi-corporation. And if they've had the chance of a one-to-one with him, and if they formed an opinion that actually Mr. Putin is not the devil that the tabloid major newspapers portray, it may mean that in 10 years, 15 years' time, whoever is running Russia would have a much easier dialogue with those people. So that's what that's all about. And it's not the first time, but the elite like to keep it quiet because people will be seen as being a traitor. You know, if you come from a very, very elite school or organization and then you decide that you want to ask questions to people yourself and you want to hear the answers yourself, well, that's revolutionary. So I'm being very careful because people are sticking their neck out, actually, and good luck to them. So that's my answer. I hope that's helpful.
Alrighty. Now, this next one is from Defeat the New World Order.
Okay.
We're being prepared for various false flag scenarios.
Yeah.
What do you think is the most likely false flag scenario they'll attempt at this stage in the timeline? To bring in the chip agenda.
Okay.
What propaganda should we expect? And how will they try to sell it to us?
Well, there was an explosion, wasn't there, at 9 o'clock this morning, somewhere in America. But these one-offs aren't big enough to bring in the big agenda. These small terrorist incidences or explosions are the drip excuse me, the drip effect. What they are is to build up in people's minds the inevitability of terrorist incidents, to make it so commonplace that basically it's accepted without question. And then you hit them with something huge. But you only hit the public with something huge because you have a huge agenda to sneak under the carpet or under the back door, as we say. So the questioner is asking about the chipping of humanity, which is still very much on the cards. Just because I haven't spoken about it recently doesn't mean that it's dropped off the agenda. I, like many other people, should focus on the most pressing matters on humanity. But it's like the wind blowing across a lake, and you have a tub on the lake. One minute the wind blows one way and the tub is pushed towards shore, and then quickly the wind changes and the tub is pushed away again. So we have to be responsive and change with the wind. But the chipping agenda never drops off the edge of the cliff because it still offers negative people a win-win situation. You could chip a large proportion of humanity technically without getting into a firefight with them. It's the least disrupting, it's the cheapest, and it's the easiest to catalogue. So in order to do that, you've either got to bring out some form of a virus or pretend virus and say that you're all going to die within 24 hours unless you head down to the clinic and get this shot. Or the other one is that there's a false flag alien invasion, and pictures are shown of aliens that look like the boy or girl next door. And authorities say, we can't tell the difference between humans and aliens, so what we're going to do is chip you, and every time you go to the shopping mall, or you go to the library or the university, you're going to be scanned. Now, if you're human, you're going to have a chip in you, and we know then you're okay. So that's the other option that they are looking at. They're the only two options that would work. You can't do it voluntarily, so you'd have to do it not forcefully, but you'd do it by the threat. The threat of if you don't do it, then this disaster is going to come upon you and your family and humanity. So false flag alien invasion or a terrible virus threat, that is what they will use for the chipping. You see, without belaboring the point, they tried it 5 years ago by saying when they ran all their ads on television, and they had all these usual paid actors to say, look, I've got a chip in my hand, now I can open and close the garage doors, and I don't even have to go outside. Well, you know, that's the level that they thought people would respond, and it just shows how undervaluing of humanity they are to try to sell the implanting, the chipping of the human race by saying you could turn your lights off, or you could answer your phone, or you could have the garage doors open. And they realized it didn't work. People weren't going to go down that road. So we're looking at something much bigger. And to be honest with you, it never left the table. It's always been there. So it's a really good question. Thank you for bringing it back onto the debate.
Alrighty. This next one is from Truth Seeker. Thank you, Simon, for revealing the many truths to us. My question is, Is it possible that there's something bigger going on in the United States that we're unaware of? Has General Joseph Dunford been acting president since September 1st, 2016? He was signatory to several G20 agreements in China. We all know the disagreement Obama had with the Chinese people there. Obama simply being ignored, and the joint chiefs have taken over most of the aspect of the governments until the orderly elections in November 2016. Under the direction of the Joint Chiefs, Joe Biden and various members of Congress of both parties, and the military, flag officers, mostly from the USN, the executive has been suspended. This is connected to a global reset program. Has Bill Clinton gone into hiding, and is Hillary under arrest?
Well, there's some really good points there. The person, we have a saying in England, which is, a person knows their stuff. Much of what you've just read out is actually accurate. Let's try and work it through. The problem for Joe Biden, or Biden, I don't wish to pronounce his name incorrectly. The problem for him is that no matter what he wants, whether he wants to stand as a presidential candidate, the supporters or backers of Hillary Clinton, who are still very powerful, let's not forget that, really don't want him involved. Now, the questioner needs to divide between the financial success of America and the military success of America. They are different. So, in sitting down at a table to talk about how America can survive, how it can have access to the codes at the banks, is actually Deutsche Bank and a couple of others, which would allow the Americans to trade in precious metals. They couldn't put Obama there because Obama is not accepted by the Chinese or the movers and shakers who support the Chinese movement. They do understand military, and there are a number of high-ranking, and I'm not going to mention the names, I'll just say there are a number of high-ranking generals who are not into genocide. There are a number of high-ranking generals who would never, ever order their men to fire on the citizens. Now, these generals have in the past stood up to the executive. And that means that they're the sort of people you can do deals with and you can do business with. But that's on the financial side. So we mustn't think that because a man or a woman is in a uniform and signs something, it's in the position of their military guys. That's not what's been going on here. And there was so much here. Mr. Clinton certainly did disappear to an island. You see, there is a bounty on some of these people, $10 million, $20 million, up to $40 million, if they can be, I'm not sure if it's dead or alive, that sounds very Wild West, but certainly if they can be brought to justice, there is a bounty on these people. The ex-British Prime Minister, Tony Blair, has a bounty on his head. That's why whenever he's seen, he's got armed police always around him, even when he's just going to a shop. So we have really a situation where certain people have lost credibility and can't act for the country that they serve, whereas others have had a clean record and therefore they can. So the person speaking has some very accurate information. I've only touched on some of it because it's yet to play out. The Joe Biden has yet to play out. There are a lot of people who do not want him as president, but the questioner hints at, and is correct, that a number of senior military people support him. So he does have the support of senior players in the military. This is just the vice president. So you're right in most of what you say. I'm very impressed with your ability to get to the truth. It may be that you've researched, or it may be that you've had access to somebody. But watch the space regarding the vice president, because that's a key point. They're absolutely determined that there won't be an election. But the military, of course, good military men and women want a political hierarchy, because they're not politicians. They're officers, they're generals, and they need the political civilian government so they can operate and do the military stuff. So it's not in their interest to destroy the Constitution. So it's a very good question, thank you.
Okay. The next question is from Peggy at AZ. Dear Simon, some people have said that souls can be removed from a body and stored in a rock. Three examples are a Russian boy, Boriska, said his soul was trapped in a rock on Mars along with others. Finally, the rock exploded and the trapped souls escaped to Earth to incarnate. Aaron Green, Hicks said that some souls, including hers, are kept in a rock in the IBIS program, and that they're taken out and put in bodies under contract. When someone in charge decides to do so, an Arizona Wilder said that the Illuminati would have harvested the souls of Princess Diana. How can this happen? Who has the technology to do this? And to what humans was this technology given? Many thanks for all that you do.
Thank you. It's very kind of you to listen to me. another very good question. Yes, the technology does exist. First of all, it's an offence in the universe or the multiverse to do what we're discussing. Only Source should have the right to do things to do with the soul. However, Source also says that it gives free will to that which has been created. So it's a bit of a grey area. If a particular being with the technology wishes to take the soul from some living creature and entrap it or entomb it for a period of time, Source is not going to directly stop it because it's free will. But what might happen is that others who support the trapped soul may come and get involved. Now, it is hard for many people to actually envisage that we could exist as a thought, as a grain of sand in the cosmos. We could be just pure consciousness without a physical body as such. So, you know, you could exist as a rock, you could exist as a tree, but not in the sense that you live inside the tree, but the particles of living energy that make that up are in communication with a rock or a snowflake, etc., etc. But the questioner is more deliberate. The questioner is saying, how can you be entrapped in a rock? Well, I don't think you can be entrapped in a rock per se. This has to be a very special rock. It might be, and I don't know for certain, but it might be that the witness testimonies here perceived it as a rock. To them it was a construct, it was a rock. But I would suggest that it would be more crystalline, and it would be connected to an artificial intelligence type device. You need an awful lot of power to do this, and you need to have quite a strong empire, because if you're going to start taking people's souls and sticking them into prisons, then you store up a lot of trouble for yourself. So the final question, I think, was who would do this? Well, no evolved being would ever dare do it. So I'm afraid we're back with our old friends, the reptilians. And some greys who have been given the technology to do it on behalf of the reptilians. So it is generally, but not exclusively, a reptilian device used to trap or prevent known people who have caused them aggravation from returning to the planet. So if you have somebody who stirs up ferment and trouble for a reptilian world or a reptilian viewpoint, then you, rather than kill that person, because remember what happens is if you kill the physical body, the soul just comes back. So in those instances, they will try to remove the soul completely from the equation by imprisoning them. Doesn't happen very much. Recently on the planet, with the cloning stations, that is a technology that's now been practiced here on the Earth. We've had the ability to move souls from one body to another, but the prison type system is something that's growing. Good question, thank you.
Alrighty, the next one is along the same lines. Can you elaborate, this is from Teresa in AZ. Can you elaborate on how souls are hybridized? We can imagine how bodies can be hybridized genetically, but how can one only take part of a soul? In your case, had you incarnated as an Agartha Earth human and as a Mantis beforehand, and somehow they changed the proportions of your consciousness? Or did they take the consciousness of two other souls, one from Agartha and one Mantis, and somehow put one-third of each into what is now your soul? What would have happened to the other parts of the soul?
Right. We should make a difference between consciousness and a soul. Consciousness is the ability to think, feel, communicate, and live. Also, I think, to learn. That's what I think consciousness is about. The soul is the embodiment of the consciousness, but it's also the embodiment of many other things.
Okay, we've lost connection again. So, we're trying to get it back. I may have to hang up and have him call me back. My.
Hello.
Hello.
So I think we got most of that before we got rudely cut off again. And the question was asking about me as an example. If you take the soul from an individual and you can splice a part of a soul from something else to it, the question is whether it will take and accept. Now, it will only take and accept it if there's a joint agreement. You can't really force one part of a soul onto another part unless there is an understanding as to what the purpose is about. And everybody agrees that it is a purpose to which they want to sign up to. That is not the same as an artificial intelligent soul that incarnates in a human body, and then the human body tries to expel the artificial intelligent soul because it's not created by source directly. So, whilst we easily understand, I hope, how a physical body can be hybridized, naturally or in the laboratory, it's harder to understand how you would manipulate the question you used the word consciousness, how you would manipulate the energies to say, well, we'll take this little bit off and we'll put this little bit on. And then the question has arisen, well, you know, do you have to live in the body of that individual before you get the soul, or do you have a bit of that soul and then you go and live in the body? And the point is that you would not generally live in, let's just call it body A, if you didn't have a history of living in that body or part of that soul. It would be like putting a Palladian soul in a reptilian body. It does happen, but it's quite rare, or vice versa, because the body should always be engineered to appeal to the soul. To make these alterations, as in my case or in other people's cases, it is very complicated. And in many times we see people where the experiment has failed, where perhaps the body is breaking down, or the proportions are not correct, or there is some form of mental disturbance. So we don't take it for granted that all of these experiments work. And the more important the experiment, then the greater the amount of energy and time that these off-planet entities put towards the job, the work in hand. So, yes, I will have, in my own personal case, I will have existed in the physical body of a Hollow Earth human or a Garthan human. I will have existed in the body of a reptilian, and I will have existed in the body of a mantid or mantis. Because how can you speak or connect or feel for that particular race if you haven't matched part of the soul with the correct body? You're just playing at it otherwise. You can't just say, oh, I want the soul and I'll do it from there. You have to have the physical body to experience the limitations and also the opportunities and the possibilities. It's all about learning. You know, it's about learning. So let's take the reptilian race. Technologically, with their nanotechnology, wonderful, but absolutely zero for artistic appreciation in terms of creational art. So, what we do with it, that's the important thing. You know, you could have 10 lives in a reptilian and 10 lives in a palladian, but unless you challenge, seek to evolve, and learn, it's all been wasted, and you're just going to have to come around and do it all again. So, it's another good question. Thank you.
Alrighty. This next one is from Matthew. Hi, Simon. My question is, could you please speak about the situation in India? Are there any precautions that we need to take?
Alright. It's really nice to have a question from someone in India. Connecting Consciousness, when I formed Connecting Consciousness, by the very nature of it, it was always going to be heavily rooted in the English-speaking world, but not exclusively so. So it's really nice to have that question. India is the next China. I just hope that India does not make the mistake that China made with poisoning its waterways and its cities. But mark my words, in the next 10 to 15 years, India will outstrip China. Not so much in the industrial base, because it takes a long time to retool your factories. It takes a long time to do that. But in sheer energy, in creational force, and scale of cost, India has the ability to outstrip China. Now, it's difficult for the West because, believe it or not, all the jokes about the Chinese being inscrutable, the Western world can do business with Chinese people. Lots of jokes about, you know, their behavior. Rather silly, really, but the reality is that they have a culture which is money-orientated, and so they would always understand and play with the West, one way or another. But the Indian group are very much small communities. Now, that may sound odd when you can think of some of the huge cities, but in terms of the way the family structure and the caste system still operate in India, and the ability of small, medium enterprises, maybe 3 or 4 people turning out lots of products, has always been a very different approach. So India is now just beginning to understand the great potential it has. I don't think you have too much to worry about in terms of the world stage. It won't be India that suffers greatly in any economic downturn, because many people in India can get by. They know how to survive. They can make do. With small materials, they can reuse materials, they don't rely on going to the store and buying something, they can create it and make it. So I really think India is one of the countries that's going to come out in the next 10-15 years on top. That's why Russia and China are cozying up to India, particularly Russia, because Russia could play India off against China in 10 years' time. So it's very interesting. It's a good question. Thank you.
All righty. The next one is from Felix from Montreal. I have a question for Simon. Did our soul family keep us away from our higher self? Did it stay on the fourth dimension when we passed into the higher realms? What about the body that we see as the astral realm? Did it dissolve after death? Thank you for your great work.
Thank you for your kind words. We normally have an agreement with ourselves. We can consciously create an image that we think represents ourselves in the astral. Now, that may change. We may evolve. We may not. We may de-evolve. But let's be positive and say we evolve. And it's not that we say that astral projection doesn't suit me any longer. I want to go and choose something that's a bit more, you know, upmarket or best reflects what I am. The astral rendition will naturally change as you and your intent change. So if you have a mouse, and that mouse projects itself, it doesn't mean that we would necessarily see a mouse. We would see a mouse, or it would see a mouse, because that is the physical shape. But it might see itself as something completely different, because it's what you believe the energy intent of your conscious life to be. If you are here to do something, then you have a mission, and nearly everybody on this planet has got a mission. The problem is that most people forget what that mission was. That's a terrible thing. But when people remember it, then they sometimes look at what they are and how does that compare to what their mission is. So it's a balance between what we physically are, what we are in the astral, but also what our energy intent is. Because remember that an image is an image. It's not necessary. Really the truth. You cannot argue with love. So if somebody's energy is pure love, they could still have an astral projection of, say, an elephant. Alright? So you wouldn't naturally associate that. So we have to try and go beyond the visual representations and feel the energy. Understand it and connect with it. Because that is the true intent that comes through. And that's why people who are very gifted here in the 3D world, who don't just see a person, but feel a person, you know, that's really helpful. And those are the sort of people that actually people like the military and the police force recruit. Because, you know, think about Star Trek. The Next Generation, you had Captain Jean-Luc Picard sitting in side, and then you had his number one officer, and then you had Deanna Troi, who was psychic. That's exactly right, because you have a psychic person advising somebody else. And so what you have on this planet are people who can see and can advise or talk, but that's the way we need to go. We need to actually stop looking at the physical and understand what's really inside there. So it's a really good question. It's wonderful. I really love this show because, the quality of the questions just blow me away. Thank you.
Alrighty, this next one is from Scintilla. What is the meaning of the number 666 and the all-seeing eye, and why are they displayed all over the place?
Well, if you form a club, you usually need a symbol. You need a symbol for those who are initiated into the club to identify. And originally, in the early days, only those members of the club knew what those were. But things leak out. People become disenchanted and they go and write books or they whistleblow. And in the end, you have a very good knowledge of what certain clubs relate to. In black magic, there are some numbers which connect astrologically, connect with the underworld, and connect with demon world. Now, I'm not going to go down this road too much because that's a bit heavy. But 666 can also be 999, of course. But it is the number from Hades, it's the number, you know, people talk about Satan or Lucifer, but it is the number of the devil. You know, what is the devil? But it is the number of pure evil. It is the number that opens the doorway. It is the number that gives passage. It is a very powerful number. Spoken is powerful, but it's in its written down form, or it's doesn't have to be written in numerical. It can actually be drawn. So, all I can say is, don't research it too much, actually, unless you are doing a lot of protective work. Because if you start delving into things like that, be careful, because something will try and come out and grab you. It's very true. It's very, very real. There is a very strong, dark energy force that is related to that number. And the reason that it's so commonplace is because members of these clubs rise to high places. So you might see the number, and I'll give you a good example. Talk about 9/11, and the architect company, the company that actually drew the plans for the Twin Towers, its street number was 666. There's absolutely no coincidence. You know, it's shocking, even for people who are in our subject, but shocking for them to hear that the Twin Towers were already destined to be destroyed before they were even built. That is why they were built the way they were with the steel girders. The whole construction of that, and I know for a fact that there are a number of people who were employed on the project of building that, those structures, and realized what it was about. They actually realized they were being built to be taken down, and they actually left their jobs because they had a conscience. So, you will find, in the places of the Vatican, in the banking world, in some of the political world, and some of the super elite private organizations, that certain images or numbers reappear time and time again because it seems as favorable. It seems bringing in the energy. You know, just imagine Pope, but imagine a very, very high religious leader who was in a part of this. He wouldn't be calling out to Jesus Christ. He'd be calling out to Lucifer, because Lucifer would be the god of those particular devotees. So it's widespread because it's fourth dimensional energy, which when manifest on this planet bears third dimensional names. It's alien to this world. It wasn't created here. Divine source has no place for it. It has no connection to a tree or a flowing river, but it has been superimposed upon the natural order, and it rides, has its own frequency, but it rides the back of the natural energies in an attempt to be hidden, an attempt to gain power, and an attempt to corrupt. And the sooner the vast majority of the human race evolve, the sooner we can throw all of this nastiness off and say we don't need it anymore. Because there's enough beauty in a running stream for us to stand there for an hour and love it. You know, I don't need to stand and feel the filthy dirtiness of a satanic energy force mixed in with pure water. But that's what they did. They mixed in to try to hide and change and corrupt. Because if you have people who are primitive, and I do not mean that rudely, if you have people that are primitive and they go to a beautiful sacred place with a fountain and some beautiful trees, and you know they give thanks to the earth, well, the evil energy wants that accolade. It wants them on their knees to it. So it tries to infiltrate these very special holy places. And there's a continual battle between the energies of the 666 and of the energies of light. So, a very good question. Thank you.
Alrighty. We may have time for one more question. And this is from Emerald Isle. Simon, and then he gives a greeting, or she, a Chara, and I may be mispronouncing that. My friend. Okay. Can the upcoming bank currency reset, scheduled for September or October, bring about the end of the controlling cities of D.C., Vatican, and the City of London? Can we, or will we, get help in getting rid of the current bar court, admiral, administrative law system, and restore our Creator's given sovereign inalienable rights and natural law? Wishing you all the peace, love, joy, and happiness throughout our multiverse.
Oh, what a lovely thing to say. Thank you ever so much. That's very kind. What a lot of lovely people. The short answer is yes. So it's nice and positive to end on. But I suppose I need to just wave the flag a little bit and say, we can either have, and we're going to use precious metals here, we can either have the silver seat, or we can have the gold seat. If we have the silver seat, and what happens is that the banking system changes dramatically, but still retains the essence of a bank. I need to explain what I'm saying here. If you make your money through profit, loss, and trade, you don't want that to end. You might want to see it change or alter, and you won't want to create opportunities, but you won't want to see the end of it. So a banking reset is not the end of money on this planet. It is the readjustment to a sort of a halfway house, which on one side removes all the debt that some of these countries have, and also on the other side begins to move more towards what human consciousness wants. But it is totally anathema, it's totally on its head to have money and love, if it doesn't work. So, as a very good friend of mine, we don't argue, but we have a debate. And, you know, my very good friend says, well, we don't need money. And actually, they're correct. But I argue that to take the human race and go from 0 to 60, to go from a society, a planet, where trade and commerce and money is the most, unfortunately, seen by many as the most important reason for existence, to go from that on Monday to actually no money on Tuesday would be trauma beyond understanding. So I've always maintained that there has to be a gradual tapering off to go from this absolutely mad, greedy, evil environment of money, 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 to an understanding that the right to life, the quality of life, is more important and should not be valued by how much money you are worth. At the conference, I said it again, and I don't make any apologies for repeating it a million times. Why on this planet is a bank manager paid more money than a nurse? And the answer is that the nurse saves lives, but lives aren't as important as money. I want to qualify that. If you are a very wealthy person, you have private medical care. So you're not involved in that because you're special, you're important. But if you are an average, ordinary person, then your life doesn't matter. So that's why a bank manager is paid more money, because he or she creates more money, which makes someone even higher than them very happy with. But when a nurse saves the life of a child, or saves the life of someone, or does something really good, that has no financial impact, generally speaking, on the system. So they don't value it. And I did go on further to say, but doctors are different from nurses. And very rarely, when a doctor or doctors go on strike and they withdraw their labour, are they pushed away. Generally, doctors always get what they ask for. They get a very good compromise. Whereas if you're a municipal worker, you drive a school bus, or you're a library worker, or you're a train driver, you don't necessarily get such a good deal. And the reason is that a doctor sells pharmaceutical products. And if doctors go on strike, then the multi-billionaires go to the government and say, these people aren't selling my products. You've got to do a deal with them. Now, when we understand how this world is working, we get a full slap in the face that is all about profit and loss. Nothing to do with love, nothing to do with humanity, nothing to do with caring and valuing people. Just purely about how much are you worth, how much money can you make for me, and I'll throw you away now because I've got a better deal around the corner. Well, that is fourth dimensional nonsense. And it's not what humanity was ever about. Originally we weren't like that. We were corrupted. So I would like to see the end of money, totally. But I appreciate that we cannot go from 0 to 60. We have to do it gradually. So that's my answer, and we run out of time. So thank you ever so much.
Well, I thank you, and I'm sure we all thank you for doing your show today, and we hope you get better, and we will be sending you lots of healing energy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Simon.
God bless to everybody. I love you all. Bye-bye. I'm